Okay, we have been, on Sunday I did a couple of sermons on things that made America great, and I didn't quite finish, and so that's what I'm going to do tonight. A lot of it is, I'll be dealing with a lot of historical things this evening, and so I will have several quotes, but I don't have a lot of material to go over tonight. Last week, on Sunday, we looked at the fact that our nation was built by people of character, and then they were also people that had a Judeo-Christian ethic and had genuine religious convictions, Christian convictions. And I gave you the quotes from the French historian who came over to America in 1831, Alexis de Tocqueville, and how impressed he was. And it, as I thought about that some more, when you look at what's going on in France today, it is the natural devolvement of human depravity. The French Revolution was a revolution based on secular humanism and what they called enlightenment. They did away with God, basically purging God and Christianity for the most part. And now you look at where they're at. They've had hordes of Muslims from other countries come into France, and they've never been assimilated into their culture. And now they're revolting, and France is burning. And that's what happens to a godless nation when you have nothing, no real foundation. And I fear this is what a lot of politicians in America would love to be more like France, with secular humanism and progressive government, big government, God, government is God. And they would love that, but it will cause your society to break apart. Because without God, you're not going to make it. I've often thought there's only been two nations that have ever been founded upon the moral law, and that's Israel and the United States of America. Now, I'm not comparing America. I'm not saying that we're a chosen nation like Israel is in that sense, but God has blessed America in a great way, in a lot of ways. We've done a lot of good that people anymore, never, ever highlight because they're rewriting history. Well, even though the secularists and the progressives are attempting to banish all references to religion in modern-day textbooks, the fact remains that our country was built on a Judeo-Christian ethic, on the moral law, on truths from the Word of God, and a reverence for Scripture, a fear of God, and a morality that was consistent with Christian principles. Now again, I say that's woven into it's been woven into the moral fabric of America. Not saying that everybody's saved, but there has been a genuine respect for the things of God, really, until about the last 50 to 75 years in America. But our founding fathers were men who had a profound respect for God and His ways. And I'm telling you, your kids, if they've gone through the government school system, they don't hear what I'm about to tell you right now. They will never hear these quotes. They'll never see these quotes. In fact, if somebody like me were to go to the government school and substitute teach and begin to teach this, they'd hang me out to dry. Because they'd say, I'm trying to teach Christianity to the kids. I'm trying to tell you what the founding fathers believed. The people that founded this country. George Washington, our first president, said this, "Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." When's the last time you heard a president talk like that? I just, as I thought about this, he's saying this in the backdrop of the French Revolution that's going on in Europe. And it really must have been a rebuke to them for leaving God out of their revolution. Benjamin Franklin, another respected and highly honored founding father, wrote a letter to Ezra Skiles. I'm sure you all know who he was. He was the president of Yale University, and which, realize this, in the 1700s, Harvard and Yale were religious schools. They trained ministers for the gospel ministry. That's what they were known for. You know what they're known for today? Garbage. Evolution. Atheism. All kinds of wickedness. Oh, it makes me sick when I think of what our government public education has devolved into. Here's what he wrote to old Ezra Stiles. Now, mind you, he's writing this to the president of Yale. Okay? "Here is my creed." All right, this is the guy that modern-day secularists and progressive politicians and textbook writers tell you at best was an agnostic. All right? Here's what Benjamin Franklin said. "Here's my creed. I believe in one God, the Creator of the universe." He's already said more than almost any politician in office today. "I believe in one God, and that He is the Creator." Oh, it'd be so refreshing if I heard somebody say that publicly, besides me. That He governs it, the creation, by His providence. Oh, God's in control. He's not only the Creator, He's sovereign. He governs the universe by His providence. That He ought to be worshipped. That the most acceptable service we render to Him is in doing good to His other children. That the soul of man is immortal and will be treated with justice in another life respecting its conduct in this. These I take to be the fundamental points in all sound religion. Now, I'm not saying that Benjamin Franklin was a theologian or that he was, you know, just the greatest Christian to ever live. Point being is, he's one of the founding fathers and he believed all that about God. James Madison, who many consider or call the father of the Constitution, he was the fourth president of the United States, he said, "The belief in a God all-powerful, wise, and good is so essential to the moral order of the world and to the happiness of man that arguments which enforce it cannot be drawn from too many sources, nor adapted with too much solicitude to the different characters and capacities to be impressed with it. James Madison. Do you realize that the United States of America was the first nation to break the bondage and the tyranny of the state church system? The Roman Catholic Church for years had ruled the with an iron fist the nations of Europe. They still do in South America and in the Philippines and other places. The Roman Catholic Church still holds sway as a state-run operation. But you know what? Americans believed in soul liberty. They believed in the freedom that someone had the freedom to worship according to the dictates of their own conscience, and that they need not be coerced by the state. Our country believed in soul liberty, and that the state could not enforce a particular religion upon individuals. We don't believe that anymore. We don't. They are shoving their religion down kids' throats every day in government school systems. It's called atheism. It's called Marxism. It's called abortion. LGBTQPTLD, whatever else they've added to it. That's what they're pushing. Those are all doctrines of devils. Not a word about the power of the gospel. But they push all these other things. Believe me, they all have. It's a religion. What about the climate thing? That's a religion. They got a whole system of doctrine. And it revolves around man rather than God. And we're not free to choose. Because they push that all the time, everywhere. Our country was founded on the supposition that men could worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience, apart from government coercion. The freedom of religious principles prevailed in early America. Now, most will not acknowledge it, but Baptists were the fiercest defenders of religious liberty in America. In fact, Americans of all denominations owe their religious liberty to the Baptists of early America, who championed the cause of religious tolerance and were influential in the framing of the First Amendment of the Constitution. Today, the secular humanists are forcing their religion of situation ethics on people and at the same time taking away the religious liberties of God-fearing people. I mean, think about this. Our Department of Justice, see how perverted this is. When parents have objected about certain moral issues, whether it be transgender bathrooms or other things at school board meetings, the Department of Justice actually has had FBI and other people embedded and are calling some of these people domestic terrorists. This is where we're at. That's sick. It's insane. That's not America. That's more like the Soviet Union in its glory days. If America is ever to return to its former greatness, there must be a revival of gospel preaching, of religious liberty. If they can teach evolution, which is a theory, it's never been proven, it can't be proven, because nobody was there when this universe came into being. But we know the one who was there. Well, if evolution can be taught, then creationism. And I wish they would let Ken Ham in every one of these schools. I'm a literalist. I take Genesis 1 through 11 as literal, not some allegory. I believe in a literal six-day creation. I don't believe in the gap theory. The more that I study my Bible, I just had to answer a question in the forum, and it revolved around Hebrews 11:4 and the sacrifice of Abel being better than Cain. Everybody forgets about verse 3, where it talks about the creation, how that we believe that God brought everything that we can see from something that was non-existent. And the point as I read that together was, wow, it's pretty important to believe the first verse of the Bible if you're going to also believe that Jesus Christ and His sacrifice is the way of salvation. Because you've got to accept all of Scripture, the authority of the Scripture. You see, when churches begin to compromise with evolution and with the gap theory and the billions of years and all that, it causes people to begin to doubt the veracity of Scripture. I take it as God's Word. You've got to approach things from a biblical worldview, not Harvard's worldview. Now here's another thing. The theology that characterized early America consisted of a strong belief in the sovereignty of God and the doctrines of grace. Arminianism and its pernicious heresies didn't have a lot of influence in early day America. It wasn't until years later when Charles Granson Finney popularized the getting people to just through psychological things to make false professions. That became a thing because it brought results. It wasn't that way in early America. Preacher got up and preached and people were saved. Ashland's Register of 1792 recorded that 92% of all Baptists in America believed the doctrines of grace. Now, granted, you know, that ain't a hefty population, 1792. But that's a pretty big percentage of people that believe in total depravity, unconditional election, particular redemption, effectual calling, perseverance, preservation of the saints. 5 points. They believed them. They preached them. Where are the Baptists today doing that? Maybe that's another reason why we're in such a mess. You see, they believed in the necessity of genuine conviction of sin and salvation by free grace alone. And until there's a return to sound theology in America, there will not be a true revival of these religious principles. Consequently, there'll be little respect for God or any other authority for that matter, unless men begin to reverence and fear a sovereign God once again. Historically, America has been one of the most evangelistically active and missionary-minded countries in all the world. I would dare say that we've probably done more mission work since our inception, since our beginnings, than any other country. And I think it's one of the reasons why God in His providence has raised up America to be a great nation, because of its missionary zeal, or at least its former missionary zeal, to carry the gospel to all nations. Thomas Jefferson said this, My God, how little do my countrymen know what precious blessings they are in possession of and which no other people on earth enjoy. He said, can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Now, let me conclude. And I know I do this every year. It's a little bit repetitious. I've probably got 11 or 12 messages on the America and things revolving around it. Some of it gets really dark. Last year, the year before, I preached on the ills of America. It was about a 6-week series. So I spared you that one. But I've tried to show some of the things that have made America great in the past. And you know what I left out? Politics. That's not what makes America great. It's God. And it's men who believe in God. And who act on that conviction. Our founding documents. You read the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. You start reading the Federalist Papers and you find out. What's that book called that I gave you, The Civil Things of the United States? Who wrote that? Yeah, I don't think that's right. Yeah, Henry, something, Benjamin Morris, something like that. Yeah, Josh has read the whole book. I haven't read it. It's about 3,000 pages. And it gives you the history of the civil life and laws of America and how they reflected Christian beliefs. But our greatness can be attributed to God alone, who formed the religious convictions and formed the character of our forefathers. And my prayer is that America will return again to greatness through a revival of spiritual and moral conviction. Our only hope as a nation is to turn back to God and acknowledge Him as Lord and Master. We have to humble our hearts before our sovereign God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Sometimes I fear that we've gone too far. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Recently, in the news, last month, they devoted a whole month to pride and sexual immorality, basically. So the whole month revolved around. Stores were celebrating it. Companies were celebrating it. Schools were celebrating it. And there were different places where they had pride parades. And in some of those parades, people were half naked. Now, I didn't see any of this, but I heard the chants. The chants were, we're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children. I mean, they were saying this. It's recorded more than one place. That tells me we're not far from where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And judgment's already here. May God help us and grant repentance.